Welcome to the January 12th sermon from Clifford Baptist Church, 635 Fletcher's Level Road in Amherst. Today's scripture is John chapter 13, verses 1 through 17, and the sermon is entitled The Example of Serving, delivered today by Pastor Jeffrey Campbell.
We are encouraged throughout God's Word to pick out examples. Paul, writing to Timothy, says this to a young pastor. He says, "Don't let anyone despise your youth, but be an example." Even in your young age, you can be an example to those around you, whether it is in word or conversation, love, spirit, faith, any of those things, you can be an example. He also writes to the Philippians and says this, not only to imitate them, but mark those believers as an example. Here's what we realize, that we all want to grow up to be somebody. And here's the reality that I face. I haven't grown up. I'm not finished yet. I'm not there yet. And I hope I'm not your example. But I hope that you pick out some godly people, not necessarily platforms of fame and fortune and TV. Pick out some old person in your church that you can know that they're going to shake your hand every week and imitate those kind of people. When we talk about serving, one of the greatest joys of our life is serving our Savior. But we're also reminded in the book of Matthew chapter 20, verse number 28, that Jesus did not come to be ministered to or to be served. Jesus came to minister or to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. And so I want you to know this, if you've heard that little corny story about me playing baseball or me picking out people in my church, I want you to know this. The mission for Jesus wasn't for the attention. It wasn't that he would get worshiped as the king per se on a physical throne. It was that others would imitate who he was. And so today, how do we do that? How do we imitate the heartbeat of our Savior in a self-centered, self-absorbed society? When it's all about us, how are we to be like Jesus? So today, I think there's a great and prime example in the Bible that every one of us can learn from. You know this story. John chapter number 13, I'm going to start by reading the first five verses of John 13. Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God, he riseth from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poureth the water in a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. When we think about the example of serving, the first point that we realize today is certain things must be laid aside. Certain things must be laid aside. Before you can serve anybody, anyone, on behalf of Jesus, there are things that must be laid aside. And so when I read this story, there are some that may listen to this and start to get the heebie-jeebies of somebody touching your feet. I want to say this, the story's bigger than that. I'm one that stands before you today that only one time in my life have I had my feet washed. And it was just recently when my wife was diagnosed with cancer. The deacons called me together and they washed my feet. Now, if you know Jeffrey, Jeffrey kind of acts like Peter in this story, and we'll get to Peter. I felt like this isn't about me. Don't do this. Please don't. Please don't. It took all I had to sit in that chair and let somebody minister to me. As this chapter opens, it opens on a time frame. The Passover feast is coming up. Jesus' mind and his heart is under a time constraint. He knows that he doesn't have much time left, and knowing there's not much time left, he spends that time in the upper room with those that are the closest to him. You can read from John chapter 13 to John chapter 17 of what he teaches those men in that upper room, in the upper room discourse. So he knows that there is a time crunch. In the last hours of his life, prior to his betrayal, prior to his arrest, prior to his death, he knows this. There are some things that I need to teach. There are some ways that I can still teach and serve those around me. If I ask you today, what would you do if you knew today that you only had a certain amount of time left? How many of us would book something and do something that we've never done before? We would want to do that. I mean, I think I would do that. The last thing that I need to do is do something for me. And here Jesus is, knowing that he doesn't have much time left, says, let me do something for someone else. There is one reason that many give for not serving. What do you think the number one reason that people give for not serving? Not enough. What a perfect excuse for Jesus. It's not enough time to do what I need to do. And yet we understand here that Jesus doesn't relate to time. He relates to carrying out his Father's business. And so Christians today, I just want to charge you on that front that we've got to quit worrying about what kind of time we have and worry about the Father's business. I'm preaching to Jeffrey right now. Jesus not only knows that his time had come, but we also read in these verses that he knows the traitor's heart. Look at verse number 2. He says, supper is ended. The devil, having now put in the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. The traitor's heart is being affected. Even though Judas is in the room with Jesus, listen to me. Even though Judas's feet would be washed by Jesus, even though Judas listened to Jesus' teaching, his heart is being led by Satan. Luke's account records that Satan enters Judas here. But here's what Jesus knows. Not only is there a time crunch, but the enemy is very present in the room. We think back in the perfect garden, the Garden of Eden, a place where God designed, he created, he made, and guess what? Satan was there as well. And in a room with the perfect Son of God in the last hours of his life, with the people that are the closest to him, guess what? Satan is there as well. Here's what I want you to know. We understand that Jesus knows the traitor's heart and he knows the work of the enemy. And even today, in a great church with great people, with good Christian motives and ideas, guess what? Satan is at work. Here's one thing that you can count on. Just as hard as God is working, Satan is working against him. So just remember, Jesus is at this feast. He understands that time is drawing down, and he understands that even in this room, Satan is at work. But we also see this, that he knows the Father has given all things into his hands. He knows what is about to happen to him. He knows he will stand condemned. He knows he will face the wrath of God by standing in the place of sinners. And despite all of that, he can still wash feet. I'm glad that reading this story, Jesus doesn't wash feet as the defeated one. He washes feet as the King of Glory. There are so many times I just look at my schedule and I look at this and I just say, I can't do it. I live life like a defeated person, saying, I wish I could, I just can't, I'm sorry, and I feel that guilt. And yet, we serve the King of Glory. And so many times when I feel defeated, I should feel like I am worshiping my Savior in the things that I do. I look at Jesus with all that is going on in his mind, with all that he knows that is going on in his heart, he still is able to wash those people's feet that are the closest to him. We find him doing this in the middle of a meal. Now, whether you know it or not, in this day, the foot washing should have happened when they entered the home, and it didn't. They're in the middle of this meal, and guess what? Just without saying a word, very quietly, Jesus stands up. He takes off his outer garment. He takes off his robe. He assumes the role of a servant, and he begins to wash feet without telling anybody. He doesn't announce, I'm going to do this. Y'all get ready. Now, I'm going to tell you this. I'm not going to wash your feet today, okay? Because if I did, some of you would say no. Because it ain't even about that. It's about Jesus knowing what needs to be done. The feet should have already been washed. And Jesus recognized that they didn't do that. So in the middle of the meal, he stands up. He assumes that servant's role. And he begins to wash the disciples' feet. But why would Jesus deal with the dirtiest part of his disciples during dinner time? Why in the world would he do that? Just wait till after dinner, Jesus. Come on. Look back at verse number 1. We see that Jesus knew that his hour had come, that he was going to depart out of the world into the Father. And then it says this, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. There's one thing that motivated Jesus. It wasn't time. It wasn't Satan. It was love. It was the love of those whom he would serve and he would lay down his life for. Today, if you serve out of any other emotion, any other reason other than the love of Jesus, it is the wrong way to serve. We touched on that last week, talking about serving out of duty. You remember that? When you serve because you have to, you're not serving with the right heart. And so only the way that Jesus can wash somebody's feet is because he loved them. I want to give you a modern day example. If you asked me, Jeffrey, to change a diaper, your answer is going to be no. If somebody else is in the room, they're going to have to do it. But if Jeffrey is in the nursery knowing that, guess what, this needs to be done, Jeffrey is going to do it. How many times out of love will we do things that we know we cannot do? And Jesus touching the dirtiest outside place of the disciples at dinner time shows that he really loves these men. And so today, what needs to be laid aside in order that you serve in love? Now, I want you to picture Jesus standing up and taking off that outer robe. That's not the only thing that's laid aside. He laid aside what was going on in his mind, what he knew in his heart. He knew his Father's business. He knew Satan was at work. He knew he didn't have much time. It doesn't matter. I love these men, and this needs to be done. It was more than a towel that was laid aside. It was time, it was thoughts, it was feeling of what was known. Some of us need to lay aside forgiveness. You can't serve because you haven't forgiven somebody, so you can't serve them. We've marked enemies. And even maybe somebody across the room, we look over there and say, I'll never do that for that person. Be careful. Be careful. You just may be washing their feet. We think of those things that we absolutely cannot do or will not do. But when we are willing to lay aside the things in order to glorify our Lord, we will do whatever he asks us to do. And so that is my challenge. Before we move on, what is keeping you from doing what God wants you to do? Lay that aside. Serve with love. Point number two, look at verses 6 through 11. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter said unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered and said, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. And Jesus said unto him, He that is washed needeth not to save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And ye are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him. Therefore said he, Ye are not all clean. Point number two today is this. When we are looking for that example of serving, you aren't clean until you are washed by Jesus. As Jesus assumes this role of servant, the least of them, cleaning off those dirty old feet that they would trudge through the streets with, Peter questions him and says simply this, Jesus, are you going to wash my feet? Implying this, that is not his job. I worked in the corporate world. I was a supervisor, and I was met with that before. That is not my job. You want to make Jeffrey's blood boil? Tell me it ain't your job. I'm grateful that in my job description written by Clifford Baptist Church, it charges me to do many things. I see Pastor Clyde is here today. Pastor Mike is here today. Nathan is here today. There are many things that are written on paper that tell us what to do. There are many things that are done that are not written on that piece of paper. And here's what I want you to know, church. I can't tell you everything you need to do. Peter says, you're going to wash my feet? Jesus, what in the world are you going to do that for? You're my Lord. You're my Savior. You're not my servant. That's not your job. Jesus responds by saying, what I'm doing, you don't fully understand, but you will soon. And that, by the way, Peter, if I don't wash you, you don't have any fellowship with me. How many of you know that this is still true today? If you're not washed by the blood of Jesus, there is no relationship with him. Fellowship with Jesus by letting him wash you and clean you with that ever-flowing blood. Aren't you thankful that it's not about you, it's not about what you've done, but it's about what Christ has done? He's already done it. He's already paid that price. He already has cleansed you. But here's what Jeffrey wrote in the margin, a note for myself. Be willing to put your feet in the master's hand. See, what had happened, all these men had already showered. They were preparing for the feast. They had taken a bath. But on their way to meet Jesus in that dusty road, their feet were dirty. And as they were to come into the house, they needed to wash those feet off, but they just didn't do it. And Jesus knows, I need to do that. There are parts of our life as we trudge through this old world that will get dirty. No matter how good or how perfect or how godly you are, you trudging through this world, you will get dirty. Put your feet in Jesus' hand. Every single day, let him cleanse you anew, make it fresh, and fellowship with him every single day. After Jesus says this, I don't need to wash your whole body. That's what Peter desired. Jesus, don't just wash my feet, wash everything. My hands and my head. If it means fellowshipping with you, Jesus, I want all that you have. He then goes on and says, there are some that aren't clean. Maybe today in this room, there are some people that say, Jesus, you're not going to do that. You're not going to take over that part of my life. I'm going to hold that back from you. I'm not going to let you cleanse that part of me. Here's what I am urging you to do. Just give it to Jesus and put it in his hand and let him clean it up. There are things at times when I think that I'm not ready to let Jesus have. But the greatest thing I learned as a Christian is this: when you trust Jesus with it, he will take care of it. The importance of the believer meeting Jesus every day to be cleaned up is absolutely essential in our life. No, he didn't need to get a whole bath, but he needed what was dirty to be taken off of him. But there are two examples here that we're given. One of them is Peter, that just needs the outward part clean, and then there is somebody else that needs an inward cleansing. He tells Peter, I just need to take care of your feet because you're okay. You're walking through this dirty world. I'll take care of that. But there's somebody else in this room that is not clean on the inside. Look with me. Chapter number 13, starting with verse number 10, he says this: Jesus said unto him, which is Peter, he that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit, and you are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him. Therefore he said, ye are not all clean. So he's dealing with Peter, who understands who Jesus is, who is saved in our terminology, who knows Jesus. He just needs that outward part cleansed, but there's one in their midst that needs the inside clean. His heart is dirty, and he needs to be washed anew. Not all of you are clean. Jesus was referring to the inside. I'm not here to bash Judas, but in a room of 13, there was one that was unclean. And so today, I look at our church, and I just simply say this: it's more than an outward appearance, an outward cleaning. It's an inward washing by Jesus that needs to take place in every life. Make sure today that the inward cleansing has taken place in your life. This second point teaches us that we must be cleansed inwardly by Christ. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Today, maybe there's some cleansing that needs to take place. There's one more point as we finish out this story. Start with verse number 12. Here's what God's word said. So after he had washed their feet and had taken his garments and was sit down again, and he said unto them, know ye what I have done to you? You call me master and Lord, and you say well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and master, having washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. The third point is simply this: you ought to. Has anybody ever gotten instructions from somebody, you need to do this or you ought to do this? Well, here's the difference in us receiving those instructions and what Jesus is saying. He understands that they don't fully understand what he's trying to teach them. And he simply says this: with your mouth you say that I'm Lord and Master, which you are 100% correct. But here's some things you ought to do if that's the case. Now listen, you say I'm Lord, you say I'm Master, here's some things you need to be doing. We sit here today saying we're Christians, we're believers, we love the Lord. Here's some things that ought to be done. The first thing is this: you ought to, and that word is used here, wash one another's feet. The word ought is an obligation. It is not a suggestion like we think it is or like we use it as. It is a command to serve one another, that we must do this. Now, this isn't that we should be intentionally washing people's feet. That's not what needs to be done. We should be serving one another. Now, foot washing is talked about here and nowhere else, so it's not something that is commanded for us to do to everyone. It is an example of service from brothers to sisters, brothers to brothers, sisters to sisters. So it's not that we ought to wash people's feet, is that we should humbly be willing to serve those that are around us. Jesus is saying that we are indebted to serve one another. If I do this for you, you ought to do it for somebody else. Jesus is the ultimate example. As Lord and Master, we are to imitate that example of servanthood that he has set humbly, bending down and positioning ourselves and designed to serve someone else, that it would bring honor and glory to the Lord. Listen to me. Not honor and glory to ourselves, not even honor and glory to our church, honor and glory to the Lord. So position yourselves that you serve Jesus by serving others. It's one thing to call him Lord. It's another thing to say I'm a believer or a Christian. And it's another thing to carry it out through humble service of Jesus. Today, where are you serving? I want everybody to look at me real quick. Where are we serving? Here's the challenge given last week. Find one place in the local church to serve Jesus and serve him well. Rocking babies, nursing home, hospital visits, prayer teams, music ministry. Listen, Jesus washed feet to set that example for us. But here's the greatest reason that we should serve of all. Number one, that Jesus would get the glory. But look at verse number 17. If you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. The better word there is blessed. How many of you know there's a difference of happiness and blessed? The greatest reason to serve somebody is because you go to be a blessing to them, but a hundredfold, every time I've done it, I've been the one that has been blessed. I'm not happy I'm changing diapers. I'm not happy I'm washing feet. I'm blessed by Jesus to do so. Jesus closes this teaching down by simply saying this: if you know these things, it's one thing to know them, it's another thing to do them. And the blessing comes when the doing happens, when the serving takes place. Today, in wrapping up, Christians, what a challenge. Now don't go home and tell your spouse, the pastor told me you need to wash my feet. That's not what I'm saying. But husbands, listen to me. You should serve your wives because of Jesus. Wives, you should be willing to serve your husbands because you love Jesus. But here's the blessing of it. It doesn't stay contained there. It doesn't stay contained in this room. It moves out. Jesus would soon be leaving the room, and these disciples soon would be scattered, and they needed to remember that they should serve one another. I'm looking at my watch. We're getting ready to scatter. How are you going to serve somebody? How are you going to be a blessing and in turn be blessed by serving? The challenge is to pray for that one place that you know God has you to serve within this church, within your local church, if this is not your church, and that God would get the blessing from it. I'm going to use an example of something I really don't like doing. As Terry is going through her treatments, she loses her feeling in her feet and her hands every now and then. So Jeffrey has to put lotion on her feet. Now, don't y'all say all, because that's, I don't like that. So Terry has gone to the store and bought me gloves because I don't like the feel of lotion. One of the greatest things that Jesus taught me about serving is you got to be willing to serve the ones that you love the most. It starts in our home. It moves to the church. And then it moves to the world. Maybe you're sitting here today and say, Jeffrey, I don't have time to do that. If you're like me, you make time to do the things you want to do. Make time to serve. Number one, that God gets the glory. And number two, that there are blessings abound. Make time. Maybe you're sitting here today and say, there's some things that I need to lay aside. I need to forgive, and I need to work on myself. Listen, if you work on yourself to get yourself right before you serve, guess what? You're never going to be right. You're never going to be good enough. You're never going to be perfect enough. It's never going to be the right time. And listen, you will go years without serving Jesus. Maybe you're sitting here today, and very humbly you say, there's some cleansing that needs to be done. I'm saved, Jeff. Pastor, I'm saved, but there's some things I need to get straightened out. Listen, Jesus can take care of those things today. He can wash those things away today. He can clean the outside, but here's the greater miracle. Jesus can cleanse the inside today as well. There is no reason for any one person to turn off a live stream or to leave this sanctuary today saying, I can't. Because Jesus already did. And he is our example. The greatest example on the pages of Scripture, the pulpits of our church, or the platforms of social media is Jesus Christ. May we be more like him. Today, if you need that inward cleansing, Jesus Christ paid it through his blood on a cross for your sin. Today, by faith, if you'll come, repent of your sin, by faith, trust him that not only he died, he raised on the third day, you will be saved. You will be cleansed and made new. And praise God, be raised to serve him for the rest of your life. Today, let's imitate the example of Jesus. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for this time. Lord, thank you for this church body. Thank you for the opportunity, Lord, you give us to break open your holy word. Lord, today I pray that your spirit would be at work now during this time of invitation. This time of invitation isn't about anything but coming before a holy God, trusting God's work in our life, committing to him our lives for the rest of our life. Lord, whatever that looks like right now for every person in this room, people watching live stream, whatever that looks like, I pray that you lead them now, and we trust you to do so. That one that needs cleansed from the inside, Lord, I pray they don't put that off. The believer that needs some things straightened out, God, take care of that today. Lord, let us serve you with joy and happiness and blessing all of our days, I pray. We love you. We give you this time. In Jesus' name, amen.
Clifford Baptist Church invites you to join us for worship every Sunday morning at 11 a.m. For more information about our church, please call our church office at 434-946-0555.